The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Live radio, folks, here on Facebook Live. All right, welcome to this week's edition of the Lions Roar. Tim McMurray, Director of Athletics here. All-star cast today with our men's basketball head coach, Jarrett Von Rosenberg, and Joe Powell from the women's basketball or men's basketball team joining us. The show's going to get a lot better, I promise. As we go through this taping here, and then in segment two, be joined by head softball coach Richie Brewster. Exciting 4-1 start for softball this weekend. The men last week, tough road trip, two overtime games, victory at Western New Mexico, 93-87, 85-81 at Eastern, 17-5, 9-4 in the Lone Star, looking up at two teams, but ahead of most of the pack right now, and big road trip coming up this week, headed to down to Kingsville. So, guys, welcome. Good to have you, man. Doing all right?
Thanks for having us.
Doing good.
Hey, so tell us, Joe, a little bit. You know, we've had a couple of your teammates on already, and first year blending, you know, 10 new guys into a roster with, you know, three returners, one of those being hurt. So really only two returners from last year in the rotation and 10 new guys. And, you know, we added 10 new guys, but we still only play with one basketball. So talk about how it's been becoming a part of this team and joining the Lion family.
First of all, when I got here, you know, it's the chemistry, you know, and nobody knows each other. So, you know, everybody's trying to prove a point, you know, going at each other, battling every day in practice, you know. First it was that, and then it was, you know, like finding who's positive, who's negative, finding out who you can vibe with and stuff like that. But pretty much we all came together, you know, after a while. Our coach, you know, kind of stopped us from going at each other so much and channeled it to the other teams. So once we got that, you know, we kind of like started coming together more, and the game started getting hard and scrappier. So we know that we needed each other instead of fighting each other. Like, that didn't solve anything. So it's just chemistry. This happens every team, you know, just trying to find the, you know, the mold, become one. It's kind of hard. It's difficult being 10 different guys from 10 different places. So, you know, that was the first thing.
This guy's ready for prime time.
I was going to say, that was one of the best answers we've had.
That was a rookie of the year. We might just give you Brewster's segment. Hey, coach. I didn't see you standing there.
No, he was saying he hadn't done any of this before. That was a pro answer right there. And no coaching either. That was perfect.
Hey, I want to jump right to a question that before we talk more basketball, because I want to talk a lot more basketball with are currently sitting in third, and I know we have bigger plans than that and have plans to play well into March, because we talk about that all the time. But I want to ask you, you come in here on track to graduate. So, you know, at some point, whether it's this year, whether it's, you know, after a pro career at some level, the basketball's terminal. So talk about the importance of that degree and what it means to you coming here and being able to transfer in all those hours and making sure you get that piece of paper.
And that was the biggest thing on me transferring was, you know, my education first, making sure my credits would all transfer, you know, everything would go over and transfer, because, you know, that's what I'm focused on. I know I hadn't been through, you know, a few little injuries and stuff, and I know I can't play forever. So, you know, coming where I'm from, I want to get my degree first, and that's all I was really focused on. Coach Rose was telling me basketball this, basketball that, but the main thing that really got me here was him saying everything you got, he's going to transfer over, you're going to graduate on time. That just made me cut everybody else out and, you know, focus on that, really. It didn't really, the basketball was second, you know. I can play, so, you know, if I get with a couple guys, you know, we're going to make it happen. But that was the first thing we settled before.
Self-awareness is not an issue either.
Exactly. Well, so you've been at the junior college level, you played Division One, you played at Division Two, and I say this all the time because, like you, I mean, my experience before becoming the AD at Commerce was all Division One, you know, Texas State, Lamar, SMU, Maryland, been around, and I say all the time, you know, the there's a lot of, and I think you're seeing it, the Lone Star this year, a lot of Division Two teams that can compete at that Division One level, certainly talent level, chemistry. You talked about that. I think that. Very, very astute observation for you to have about your new teammates. But two part question: compare it to the Division One level, and then also talk about specifically what makes Commerce a special place.
Okay, Division One, you know, it was, I would say, it wasn't too much better than, you know, here. Maybe because I was at like a smaller Division One, but, you know, it was the same kind of. I feel like here, you know, I got a younger coach I can relate to a little better. There, my coach was a little older, so, you know, he didn't really want to talk about nothing too much, sit down and meet. But, you know, here, I feel like I got everything that I had there. You know, maybe lacking a little bit, but, you know, nothing that's going to kill me. I feel like coming here, you know, I still have, you know, opportunities, resources, you know, people I can talk to, help, you know. There, you know, it was kind of like, it was more of like basketball. They just wanted somebody to come in and do this and that. And if you couldn't do it, really, you know, you go. And that's kind of how Division One is. You got to, like, you know, do everything right because, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. So I was, the basketball, it was physical. It was really physical coming out there. I wasn't too big. I was about 200 pounds banging with big guys, you know, 250 and stuff like that. I had to adjust to it. It was faster pace.
How tall are you? Just because anybody seeing you on camera, we're all the same height right now. So that doesn't.
Yeah, I'm about 6'7", I would say. Put my shoes on. playing against 7-footers, you know, every other night. 6'9", you know, I played. Had to hold John Collins. I don't know if you guys know him. Mm-hmm. He's an NBA player now. I had to hold, battle with him the whole game. He was whooping me, but I didn't back down. You know, I kept going. So I would say it just like it's a little more, you know, a little more physical. But since I've been here, man, I done played some of the best games in my life, some of the most unbelievable games I ever seen in my life since I've been here, and you know. I'm just grateful for the ones that we won, you know.
And the ones we have coming.
Yeah, the ones we have coming, man. It's just looking forward to it. It's big. Like, I can see it now, you know, what everybody was talking about. And I'm happy, you know. I like that. I don't want to come and play nowhere, you know, soft and just win, beat everybody. It's fun. It's better when you're playing against competition. They come down to the last shot or whatever. Just make it feel better when we win. Yeah.
Thank God we've got him on after that horrendous start we had. Right. Hey, talk about I'm putting Coach Rose on the spot here. You identified this guy. I know he was one of the first ones, and you know, obviously with Coach's first year, he was keeping me up to date almost on a daily basis in a good way on the recruiting class and who we were looking at, because it was obviously important for him to get his first class right. Talk a little bit. I'm gonna let you brag on him. What you identified, other than his natural LeBron James-like interviewing skills. But what helped you identify him as the right student-athlete, right fit for Commerce, right fit for your program?
Well, I mean, going back to the beginning, when I first had an interview, and, you know, I tried to stay true to what we said in the interview process, is we were going after quality people from quality programs. Obviously, talent's something that you have to have, because at the end of the day, you know, there's a win and loss record associated with my name, my program, but we wanted to get the right people, good people that fit this league, fit this institution, fit what kind of program we were trying to run. And, you know, he checks all those boxes. And there was a lot of no's said, a lot of people we didn't even go beyond an initial phone call because they had character issues or other issues that weren't right for our program. And, you know, Joe Powell's head coach, Martin McCann, who was teammates with Aaron Horn, who's also on this team from Palm Beach State Junior College, and he's had players that he's told me about in his program that he said, no, you know, I don't want to send a guy like this to you. But, you know, he feels like Joe Powell's a brother to him and, you know, willing to lay his body on the line, emotionally, physically, to do what's best for the team and best for himself, to better himself. And those are the kind of guys we want. I mean, you know, whether he could have come here and got hurt in the first day of practice and never played a game for us, and I'd be happy that he's part of this program and he's helping us on the floor, but he's helping us behind the scenes and off the floor too with everything he does for the community and our program in general.
One thing I like, Joe, about just watching this team come together and having come together, you know, Reggie Reed has confidence passing you the ball. You have confidence passing it to Reggie or Willie. You have confidence kicking it out in transition. Did that? You talked about what it was like in September, October, going at each other. Is that what is that the secret sauce? Is there something else that has gotten us to this point where the on the floor chemistry? Even when we have a setback, to me, we could have in Canyon, we could have tucked our head and, you know, balled it up with 8 minutes to go, and instead we came back and had a chance to win that game at the end. What's happened on the court with that chemistry that's made this first half of the conference race so special?
I would say we just built like a brotherhood. Like, you know, I don't know if Coach know who he has on his team, but we come from a background with kind of like a little tough background. Yep. So if you put that all in one area, you know, we start to, you know, click and talk to each other. You know, we used to sit in a room and talk about, like, you know, things we've been through sometimes, just the whole team, and, you know, just know each other, get to know each other more. And it kind of, like, you know, opened us up to, like, oh, man, I didn't know that about that guy. Like, that's similar to me, you know. It kind of just bring us closer together. So when I'm on the court, I don't care who I pass it to, man. It's my teammate. I trust him. Yeah. But in the beginning, we didn't have much trust. We didn't know who would do this and that. And we was looking at people with the sideways. We didn't know we had stuff in common like that until, you know, time went and we hung out, came together. So it just make it easier on the court for us now. I pass it to anybody, you know. They'll pass it to me. It's no favorites or nothing like that. We don't have that on our team. You know, sometimes, you know, we might get it a little bit, and that kind of coach will remind us, you know, make a play for the other person. So automatically, when I get the ball, I'm thinking about, you know, somebody else.
What's the acronym?
Make plays for others.
MPFO, man.
Yeah. That's what he
on the board every day.
Yeah, I just say make plays for others.
No, that's right. Acronym's the short version.
Yeah,
the acronym.
So that's the main thing.
Hey, he was talking.
sorry.
All right, before we got to get to the fun stuff before we wrap up, because we actually do have to wrap up and we'll talk to our softball coach too, and we have a million places to go. You've thrown down some absolutely monster dunks this year. Are you trying to break our rims?
Yeah.
Do you hate our facilities people?
No, I just want to break it, and maybe we up on a scoreboard and it just end the game, we win.
How about we break Frisco's backboards? How about that?
Yeah, break theirs too.
Yeah, because that's a neutral court. That means we won the conference championship.
Yeah, that really means that.
Then you get.
Got it.
No, that's where the tournament is. That's what I'm saying. Break their backboard for more days. We win in the championship game.
I don't know if that's how it really works, but I'm cool with trying for it.
It is. Yeah. Well, I think that'll be uncharted waters. So. Yeah, Coach Brewster tells his girls if they hit the scoreboard, you know, automatic home run conference championship. All right, a couple quick fun things. Let's pregame playlist, getting on a flight this week, but getting on that bus to ride over to the airport. What's on the pregame playlist or the road trip playlist?
Like music?
Yeah.
Or TV shows. Whatever you're watching or listening to.
Man, I don't really control the music. I would say that's my my boy Conrad and Reggie Reed. They just play stuff in the back and just blast it so loud. If you sleep and you just wake up, just, ready to go, you know. We don't really have a playlist.
So you guys do the community DJ model?
Yeah, we have a big old speaker on the bus, and we blast it all the time. And sometimes coach has to get on this and be like, cut it down, you know.
Yes, I actually do remember that on the ride home from Canyon.
Yeah, you was with us. Remember?
I do. Results have a lot to do with
it was a lot louder on the way to Odessa.
Yeah.
Favorite NBA team?
I had to say Golden State, only because Draymond.
Yeah.
That's my.
I was about to go Mike off.
Went to the same high school.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes.
Oh,
more
really?
Sense.
Okay, we'll give you that one. All right, any Netflix guy?
Yeah, I watch Netflix. I've been watching more.
What's your show?
My show right now is called Supernatural. You know, it's kind of like a little scary show, you know, angels and little monsters and stuff like that. Before then, you know, I was watching a lot of stuff, Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
I watched Breaking Bad before.
Oh, strong.
Real strong. We're getting him back on the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gave the right answers. Exactly. We didn't give him the key beforehand, but he gave the right
That's
answers.
Exactly right. All right. Hey, Joe, appreciate you being here, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
Angelo and Kings, we'll appreciate everything and look forward to talking to you in March as we're getting ready for postseason. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, man. We'll be back, I guess, in segment two.
It's two and a half.
Segment two and a half. Talk a little bit more with Coach Rose and then wrap him up and have Coach Brewster on.
Perfect.
All right. See you back.
The program you're enjoying right now was made possible by a group of folks just like you who make contributions to public radio. Support programs just like this one. Visit KETR.org and click donate.
Back here in segment two of Lions Roar, joined by our head softball coach, Richie Brewster. Before we let Coach Rose out and focus on our 4-1 softball team, just a couple of quick questions. Man, first of all, We need to have that guy do some media training for student athletes. That was impressive. So, all right, big road trip. They're all big coming up, but we're 40% through our Lone Star Conference road tour of the month of February, and two big ones this weekend. Tough loss, two overtime games. Not good for the AD's blood pressure when he's sitting at home watching life stats and listening to the radio and all that. But take us through. You know, I know a lot of positives to take away from this trip and a lot of opportunity to control our own destiny moving forward.
Absolutely. You know, we went out to Western New Mexico, and, you know, they haven't been they haven't gotten a lot of wins in the win column, obviously, in league in the last 2 years. So, you know, you don't want to give them the first. They're going to beat somebody, and they're a good team, and they're getting better year by year. But we had multiple opportunities to lose that game, and I credit our guys for really fighting, you know, down five with 45 seconds to go and, you know, found a way to stay the course and keep working. And, you know, we put on a press that we haven't done maybe but once or twice the entire year. We're able to, you know, come away with two stops and scores to get into overtime. And then once we got into overtime, I felt good about our chances, and we were able to take care of business. Then we turn right around, drive 7 hours, and play a really good Eastern New Mexico team that's playing really well as of late, having knocked off Tarleton on Thursday, and then Angelo State the week before that. So we knew it was going to be a battle. I was proud of how we competed. I thought the last five games we haven't had the same grit on the defensive end that we'd had to start the year, but I thought we brought that on Saturday. And I give them a lot of credit. Eastern New Mexico, they hit two really big shots in overtime that, you know, most of the games this year those shots don't go in, or only one of them goes in, and we still have a chance to win that game. But they hit two timely shots, and we just couldn't catch them there at the end. But now going into this week, it's going to be tough. Every road game's tough, especially in this league, and we're going to play two really good teams that play really well at home. You know, very similar to us at 8-1 at home. These teams have great home records, and, you know, we got to be firing all cylinders. We got to get enough stops and find enough ways to score. And at the end of the day, if we put ourselves in position in that last 4 minutes to have a chance to win, that's all we can ask for, and then our guys will make plays like they've been doing all year.
Man, that was a very thorough answer.
I was going to say, so one.
Do you have any questions for him?
I think it was because of Viper's play that he designed when we took him to breakfast on his interview.
That's right.
That's Western New Mexico should have used that play, and we wouldn't have been able to come back in that game if they'd used the Neil Piper play.
It's the undefendable Neil Piper illegal inbounds basketball play. Film at 11. Talk a little bit about what you like most about our softball coach.
Oh, I'll tell you what, the grooming he does on his beard is very impressive. Yeah, very impressive.
Not the way he handles his team, not his demeanor, not his support.
You know what I will say, Coach Brewster, he came when I was an assistant here, is when he first got here just to start the program. And, you know, I've leaned on him and asked him a number of questions since I've been back, because, you know, he went through building a program, obviously, from scratch here, and I followed up a program that had been in existence and been doing very well. But, you know, it's still, at the end of the day, it's my first program and what we're trying to do. So he's been very valuable to bump ideas off of. His assistants have sent me stuff that they use for budgeting, just a number of things. That's what's so neat about our university and our athletic program, is everybody's willing to help. It's not like his ideas are only his ideas. We're all, you know, I've got a lot to learn from a lot of these guys that have had a lot of success as head coaches, and I just look forward to you know, talking to him more and sitting down with our other coaching staffs.
That was a real answer. That was pretty impressive.
I have to buy him lunch now.
I thought I had a joke question. And it gets a real answer.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You broke me.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of love in the room.
Yeah. But my sarcasm meter.
Road trip this weekend. I think it's really interesting the way that you guys have kind of repurposed the budget for this trip and been creative and taking a little bit of a risk traveling day of, but giving the guys maximum fresh legs for what's really a tough trip, because Angelo and Kingsville are travel partners, sensibly, if you're coming from Central Washington, but not if you're coming from really anywhere in our state. So talk about the itinerary this week.
Yeah, so we're going to fly the day of the game Thursday morning. We'll have a charter bus. We'll leave very early, have a charter bus down there so they'll be able to sleep on the way to the airport. And then we'll take about a 45-minute flight to Angelo. We'll get in about 10:15, and then we'll go straight to shoot around there. And then we'll be able to check into a hotel early and get off our feet for 6-7 hours before the game that evening. The reason we're doing this is mainly because of the back end of the trip. Because obviously we fly to Kingsville Friday morning and play them Saturday at 2. But if we were to get on a bus from Kingsville and get back to campus at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, I think it'd be really hard to turn around and get preparation done for our Tuesday game at Tarleton, also on the road. So, you know, we'll see how this works. I think it's going to maximize legs. Obviously, we're just on a flight, so it's not the first flight we've been on as a team, so there should be no surprises there. And our guys, at the end of the day, they'll be ready to go. They know what's at stake, and they know what we're expecting and where we're trying to finish. And, you know, we'll put our best foot forward and try to give ourselves a chance to win.
Do you think, Angelo, you might try to run the up-dog play?
Yeah, the up-dog, down-dog, sideways action. We're going to start calling football plays in the huddle. I like that. Reverse, trigger right, X fly.
What was the Gruden one? It was Z22 Y banana.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I thought I'd throw it. I hadn't tried it yet.
I would. Lives. I'm glad you didn't ask Joe Powell that question because he did a really good job. You would have. We'd have had.
I know that would have.
Oh man, we totally.
That would have taken. Yeah.
Call him back. Call him back.
Yeah. All right. Hey, go go grab some lunch. Now you got afternoon practice, and this is your long day, correct?
Absolutely.
See, I do listen in our meetings. All right, Coach Rose, thanks. Best of luck. Big road swing coming up. We'll see you next week.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
Now we can focus on the real winter sport because they play outdoors.
They just call
without
it
the heat and
get 20% of their schedule done in 10 days.
Yes. Exactly.
Beautiful weather.
All right. Hey, great trip. We
thank you.
We 4-1, big regional win. We'll talk about regional. I think it will be helpful since we both, you've been on one, I'm currently on one, and explain when we talk about regional wins. We had our town hall athletic department monthly full staff meeting this morning. That room knows what a RAC is. It's a acronym for Regional Advisory Committee, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but the importance of a scheduling right, all of that. We'll talk about a little bit about this in the segment, but part of scheduling right was starting with the tournament where you play all in-region teams.
Correct.
And this weekend, and, you know, obviously there's only one thing that would have been better than 4-1, but yep, even the one, you know, wasn't a loss that will debilitate us from achieving our goals this season.
Right. It helps you strengthen the schedule. Even the loss is there's never a good loss, but if you're going to lose one, you want to do it against a team that's probably going to be number one or two in the region.
Correct.
This year.
Yep.
And so, you know, the others obviously are great because it's like having an ace up your sleeve in a poker game. You get to pull that out if need be with St. Mary's. Oh, by the way, we beat St. Mary's head-to-head, and they're always a perennial top five regional ranking team, and Metro State's usually top 10. So, again, you could pull that out because that's the only time we play them all year. And so you've got the head-to-head competition, which is very important when it comes down because it'll be really close in those rankings at the end of the year. And those kind of wins really propel you to the top and make it easy for the committee to look at. Well, they played on the field, so they decided it there. That team's better, and that's the one that gets to go.
Absolutely. At the last minute, you know, we were a little bit shorthanded on the trip this week, but obviously this time of year that allows people to step up, talk about some positive, negative individual performances. Let's start with our freshman on the mound, and then I'll let you take us around the diamond.
Yeah, Emily Otto was just awesome. And that was, our goal going in was to really get our pitching staff to the top, and we knew our returners coming back were going to get better. But then Emily's had an outstanding career coming in out of high school, a 10-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, and she's living that up at this level now. She's got a 7-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, which is outstanding. And then to have 10 strikeouts against St. Mary's. So this is a veteran team that knows how to get it done and what it takes. And for her to step in that role as a number one pitcher is just outstanding for her. And the big thing you talked about is people stepping in, getting opportunities. And that's one thing we talked about with our team is everyone on this team is going to have an opportunity at some point to win a game for us throughout the year. So you need to be prepared for that. And we saw that with Kimber Neal this week. Monica Cherry wasn't able to make the trip, had an unfortunate illness that came up right as we were leaving the night of. And so it was an easy decision for me because Kimber's been busting her tail every single day of practice, getting ready. And she got an opportunity, and she made the most of it. She hit over 500 for the weekend, so she stepped in a big way offensively for us and played a solid defense at second. And so that's what you love, and that's why you enjoy coaching, is those opportunities those kids get and then take advantage of it. So it was great to see her do that for her team.
18 hits against a nationally ranked St. Mary's team. That jumped off the page to me this weekend, off the screen, as I was following along. And, I mean, that's not 18 hits and – Josh Manks, you know,
no.
Beer League softball.
That's right.
That's 18 hits against St. Mary's.
Yeah.
Can we say Beer League on NPR? Sorry.
We're on a podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, it's 18, NPR. You can say beer.
Yeah, 18 hits.
Sure.
18 hits against St. Mary's.
Yeah, and that was the number one pitcher. And that's we got everybody's number one pitcher every single game. And so it wasn't like the schedule gave us you get their number two, because that happens a lot of times in tournaments. Depends on how their second game of the day, those kind of things. We got everybody's number one. And so when you come out, our team batting average 420 at the end of the tournament. Outstanding. So Coach May did a wonderful job.
Did you give him
job.
The question sheet? He just took my next question.
Oh, I took
question.
That one from you. Sorry, I'm a stats guy, so I'm rolling them out there. I mean, you look at it and you're like, all right, this is what we're getting this weekend. And they rolled out a pitcher that shut out Metro State on Friday, and that's who we got. And then put up 18 hits on her, and they brought in another pitcher. They're probably number three pitcher probably at that point. Pretty much the game was out of reach at that time.
You and I and our external team, who's done a great job, is I think put together a very nice combination of group sales, of marketing, mm-hmm. of promotions, of game atmosphere. And I think in the past one thing I know we've been missing is we might be trying to do some improved things at the stadium and in game and all of that, but we're not. You have to market your fan experience, and I think that gets lost a lot of times. And marketing your promotions is much more important than doing your promotions, executing
right.
your promotions.
Yes.
So I'm really pleased with the job Josh and, you know, Taryn Driver and Rachel Tuck and that group's done on our external team of getting us ready for softball season. We've got a couple of Pack the Park nights where it's going to be very affordable, i.e. free.
Yes.
For people to come to the game.
No excuse.
Corporate partners.
That's a good budget.
That's the right best there. Entertainment
yes.
value.
And no excuse not to come now.
And so doing some things with, you know, cookouts, utilizing our berm as much as we will in some of those, you know, March and April weekends, but just really trying to improve the atmosphere. You and I are very committed to it. We've started to do some things and really excited. And you've seen it, you know, at TWU, when you get a community behind it, we're not, just because we're not as established as an Angelo State, as a West Texas, as a Texas Woman's that do have pronounced crowd, that doesn't mean we can't aspire and build to that and continue to get better. And I think we got a glimpse of what we did in about 30 hours last year with that dollar day to clinch a conference tournament berth against Texas Women's. That's my goal for every Friday and Saturday at Kane Field.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've got great fans here that are very, very loyal to our sports, and we just need to get them. You know, we've got over 10,000 people in the football stadium. So if we just had a tenth of
correct.
Those show up,
we'd have standing
it's
remotely.
A packed house.
Correct. I was going to say, I don't think that'll fit at softball, just saying.
But I always tell you guys, what's your capacity? Well, my capacity is to make the fire marshal come out and
that's right.
stop us. Don't worry about what the number is.
Yes.
But I agree. And you know, even let's even realistically, of those, of that 10,000, 7,500 of those were actually ours.
That's right.
And so you're exactly right. So 10% of that 7,500 would just about almost exactly to the number line the outfield fence and completely fill the bleachers. And that's what we strive for. So if we do it once or twice this year, then we want to do it 4-6 times next year, and we just stair-step it. We did it really 1.5 times. We weren't quite full on that Sunday dollar day, but we were almost
close.
Full on one side for education day. And so, unfortunately, our weekdays this year didn't work for
right.
an effective education day, so we transitioned some of those resources with Alliance Bank, our great partner, into mm-hmm. Pack in the Park for one night. And I think we're going to have some partners in Greenville come through and pack the park for us on another game and get that, because all we want to do is tell the softball story. And if we can introduce it what we assume will be two nationally ranked opponents, hopefully just like us at the time, when they get in here, we just continue to build that. And strategically putting our resources into marketing and telling our softball story.
That's exactly right.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the RAC and all of that, because another big opportunity this weekend with some regional competition right down the road in Mesquite, and maybe even bring in a couple of games our way if there is weather. And
I'm going to be in Kingsville, so it's going to be really hard for me to do.
Mobilizing for that. Talk about just the importance of, and you touched on it a little bit, but the regional scheduling. And when you get into, and I think we've maybe in a different platform explained this to our fans, but one example of the importance of games this time of year before it really counts in conference, we were right there, even being a 500 team in this competitive softball league, we were very much in the regional conversation last year right up until tournament weekend, because, and even after tournament weekend to an extent, because last year on this upcoming weekend, we went to Florida to the showcase tournament, beat St. Leo, number 5 in the country at the time, and stayed very competitive throughout the season. That type of win was still ringing loud and proud with the national committee, probably even more so than the respect at the regional level, because we're so focused on looking at in-region games.
Right.
The national committee sees, all right, well, what does one of St. Leo, does St. Leo have a quality loss? Well, yeah, A&M Commerce, they're right there in that, 6-9 range in the South Central Regional. Mm-hmm. So all these matchups, you never know. I mean, obviously you can take the guesswork out playing in region, but any non-conference deal can have a domino effect. Depending on what the result is.
That's right. It's, a lot of people say, why don't you just do it like Division One? Well, we can't get out and go play all the big tournaments, Division One does. So they've got a really good idea of the strength of schedule, the RPIs and those kind of things. Well, D2 is more regionalized. And then a lot of the conferences are playing 44 conference games. So they play, 10 or 12 in-region non-conference games. And so those are very important when you can get those. And that way the national committee does have something to look, because they know this team, they're really good, but they may not know some other teams with that. So it's very important to be able to play like a Southern Arkansas coming in. They're number 10 nationally in the NFCA poll, currently 4-0. And so you need to play a team like that. One, it gets you ready for your conference schedule. That's going to be tough. We open up with Tarleton the first weekend of conference, who's 6-0 right now. So you need to be prepared for that. So you don't need to play a soft schedule, but you still got to get some wins in there as well.
Absolutely.
And I don't want it to be like, last year it was a battle between us and Lubbock all year long, who's the best and this and that, and our strength of schedule was better than theirs. They had more wins, but it was because of who they played and those kind of things. But, my goal setting a schedule was, all right, let's schedule these people. Make sure that we play them at least one game. And decided on the field. And we'll take care of business doing that. And
absolutely.
That answers that question for everybody.
Yeah.
And then it's just all about seeding at that point and where you're going, and hopefully we're hosting at the end of the year.
Great stuff. Well, we got a lot of softball left this season, and looking forward to talking about probably just about every week. We'll have some overlap with coaches, so we'll rotate you in and out. But look forward to that. Looking forward to getting some of our talented student-athletes from that group here on with us, and
definitely
best of luck in Mesquite this weekend.
Thank you.
Did we say that we got the two players of the week?
I don't even remember if we said it.
So Emily Otto, the freshman we were talking about, she got Lone Star Conference Pitcher of the Week, and Kenzie Hebler, what did Kenzie hit? It was 4 million, I think. That's too many.
Beautifully. Breaking news on Lions Award. Breaking news.
563 with 9 hits, 10 ribbies, and 3 dingers. That's good.
I also had
Can we get a graphic for breaking news?
No.
Come on, June.
All my graphic efforts have been put into the thing you're about to talk about at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Softball, I could break the window. Would that count?
Yeah. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Jared would like that on his budget, like, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So as we wrap up here, just many reminders for the week coming up in line athletics. Thursday and Saturday, basketball on the road. We mentioned that. Softball back in action for Saturday, February 10th. Softball doubleheader again. Now they're going to get to eat.
Yeah, we'll let them eat.
But and, more than peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, and basketball's playing in about two games, and we got five on a weekend. I know. You know? I mean, what's up?
Right, hey, you go back to back to back. They get the day off.
Yeah.
They're going 12 games in 9 days.
I didn't notice Sarah Carthel or Craig Case having a lot of sympathy for basketball today when they were talking about their road trip. They play like 18 hours apart and have to drive 5 hours across the state. Yes. So
they do run more than us, so I'll give them that.
We'll give them that. That's true. They do run. Well, maybe not with this offensive lineup.
True.
You don't know. I have no idea where we are now. All right, softball.
You're Saturday morning.
Saturday at 11, number 10 Southern Arkansas, as Coach Brewster said. That will be a big regional early season game for us. 1:30 Lubbock Christian. Both of those again in Mesquite, and then men's basketball. And actually, I guess, they flipped that. Men's basketball is at 2 p.m.
and women's
basketball at 4 in A&M Kingsville. So the men, for once, will get home earlier than the ladies on Saturday. Sunday, softball wraps up their five-game regional stand. Can we call it that? Not home stand, regional stand.
And it's close, you know. Yeah,
we're closer than anybody else who's going to be there.
We are. We should be the host.
That's right. Colorado Christian at noon, and then getting ready for the conference opener. Monday, February 12th, women's golf, first spring action, St. Mary's Lady Rattler Invitational. That'll be a Monday outing. And then Tuesday, again, huge regional road game for men's and women's basketball, doubleheader at Tarleton, Tuesday, February 13th. And then we'll welcome softball back home next weekend. So, great show. June, thanks for joining us live on camera.
Lions Roar will probably be softball and track on Tuesday because the basketball teams will all be on the road and golf will be on the road as well.
And you'll be hosting.
Oh, man. Might just be me and June.
Yeah, because I'll already be on the road at Tarleton because I've got to stop in Arlington and
have meetings.
Thank one of our good partners that's supporting us with the Night with Champions event. So,
big week.
Yeah, big week. Big week and lots of exciting things coming up after the softball home opener. So, really appreciate softball joining us today, men's basketball. Great visit with Joe Powell. We'll see you next week on Lions Roar. Go Lions.